Chapter 2. I went in the Perla and sat down at a table. They had a new pane of glass in the window that had been shut up, and the showcase was all fixed up. There were a lot of Gallegos drinking at the bar and some eating. One table was playing dominoes already. I had black bean soup and a beef stew with boiled potatoes for 15 cents. A bottle of Atwe beer brought it up to a quarter. When I spoke to the waiter about the shooting, he wouldn't say anything. They were all plenty scared. I finished the meal and sat back and smoked a cigarette and worried my head off. Then I saw Frankie coming in the door with someone behind him. Yellow stuff, I thought to myself. So it's yellow stuff. This is Mr. Singh, Frankie said and smiled. He'd been pretty fast, all right, and he knew it. How do you do? Said Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh was about the smoothest-looking thing I'd ever seen. He was a Chink, all right, but he talked like an Englishman, and he was dressed in a white suit with a silk shirt and black tie and one of those $125 Panama hats. You will have some coffee? He asked me. If you do. Thank you, said Mr. Singh. We are quite alone here. Except for everybody in the cafe, I told him. That is all right, Mr. Singh said. You have a boat. 38 feet, I said. 100 horse Kermath. Ah, said Mr. Singh. I had imagined it was something bigger. It can carry 265 cases without being loaded. Would you care to charter it to me? On what terms? You need not go. I will provide a captain and a crew. No, I said. I go on her wherever she goes. I see, said Mr. Singh. Would you mind leaving us? He said to Frankie. Frankie looked as interested as ever and smiled at him. He's deaf, I said. He doesn't understand much English. I see, said Mr. Singh. You speak Spanish. Tell him to rejoin us later. I motioned to Frankie with my thumb. He got up and went over to the bar. You don't speak Spanish? I said. Oh, yes, said Mr. Singh. Now, what are the circumstances that have made you consider... I'm broke. I see, said Mr. Singh. Does the boat owe any money? Can she be libeled? No. Quite so, Mr. Singh said. How many of my unfortunate compatriots could your boat accommodate? You mean carry? That's it. How far? A day's voyage. I don't know, I said. She can take a dozen if they didn't have any baggage. They would not have baggage. Where do you want to carry them? I'd leave that to you, Mr. Singh said. You mean where to land them? You would embark them for the Tortugas, where a schooner would pick them up. Listen, I said, there's a lighthouse at the Tortugas on Loggerhead Key with a radio that works both ways.
Quite, said Mr. Singh. It would certainly be very silly to land them there.
Then what?
I said you would embark them for there. That is what their passage calls for.
Yes, I said.
You would land them wherever your best judgment dictated.
Will the schooner come to Tortugas to get them?
Of course not, said Mr. Singh. How silly.
How much are they worth a head?
$50, said Mr. Singh.
No.
How would 75 do?
What do you get a head?
Oh, that's quite beside the point. You see, there are a great many facets, or you would say angles, to my issuing the tickets. It doesn't stop there.
Yes, I said, and what I'm supposed to do doesn't have to be paid for either, eh?
I see your point absolutely, said Mr. Singh. Should we say $100 apiece?
Listen, I said, do you know how long I would go to jail if they picked me up on this?
10 years, said Mr. Singh. 10 years at least. But there's no reason to go to jail, my dear captain. You run only one risk, when you load your passengers. Everything else is left to your discretion.
And if they come back on your hands?
That's quite simple. I would accuse you to them of having betrayed me. I will make a partial refund and ship them out again. They realize, of course, that it is a difficult voyage.
What about me?
I suppose I should send some word to the consulate.
I see.
$1,200, Captain, is not to be despised at present.
When would I get the money?
200 when you agree and 1,000 when you load. Suppose I went off with the 200. I could do nothing, of course, he smiled. But I know you wouldn't do such a thing, Captain. Have you got the 200 with you? Of course. Put it under the plate. He did. All right, I said. I'll clear in the morning and pull out at dark. Now where do we load? How would Baccarat now be? All right. Have you got it fixed? Of course.
Now about the loading, I said. You show two lights, one above the other at the point. I'll come in when I see them. You come out in a boat and load from the boat. You come yourself and you bring the money. I won't take one on board until I have it.
No, he said. One half when you start to load, and the other when you are finished.
All right, I said. That's reasonable.
So everything is understood?
I guess so, I said. There's no baggage and no arms. No guns, knives, or razors, nothing. I have to know about that.
Captain, said Mr. Singh, have you no trust in me? Don't you see our interests are identical?
You'll make sure?
Please do not embarrass me, he said. Do you not see how our interests coincide?
All right, I told him. What time will you be there?
Before midnight.
All right, I said. I guess that's all.
How do you want the money?
In hundreds is all right.
He stood up and I watched him go out.
Frankie smiled at him as he went. Mr. Singh didn't look at him. He was a smooth-looking chink, all right. Some chink. Frankie came over to the table.
Well, he said,
where do you know Mr. Singh?
He ships Chinaman, Frankie said. Big business.
How long you know him?
He's here about 2 years, Frankie said. Another one shipped them before him. Somebody kill him.
Somebody will kill Mr. Singh, too.
Sure, said Frankie. Why not? Plenty big business.
Some business, I said.
Big business, said Frankie. Ship Chinaman never come back. Other Chinaman write letters, say everything fine.
Wonderful, I said.
This kind of Chinaman no understand, right? Chinaman can write all rich. Eat nothing. Live on rice. 100,000 Chinaman here. Only 3 Chinese women.
Why?
Government no let.
Hell of a situation, I said.
You do business him?
Maybe.
Good business, said Frankie. Better than politics. Much money. Plenty big business.
Have a bottle of beer, I told him.
You not worry anymore?
Hell no, I said. Plenty big business. Much obliged.
Good, said Frankie and patted me on the back. Make me happier than nothing. All I want is you happy.
Chinaman good business, eh?
Wonderful.
Make me happy, said Frankie.
I saw he was about ready to cry because he was so pleased everything was all right. So I patted him on the back. Some Frankie.
First thing in the morning, I got hold of the broker and told him to clear us. He wanted the crew list, and I told him nobody.
You going to cross alone, Captain?
That's right.
What's become of your mate?
He's on a drunk, I told him.
It's very dangerous to go alone.
It's only 90 miles, I said. Do you think having a rummy on board makes any difference?
I ran her over to the Standard Oil dock across the harbor and filled up both the tanks. She held nearly 200 gallons when I had her full. I hated to buy it at 28 cents a gallon, but I didn't know where we might go. Ever since I'd seen the chink and taken the money, I'd been worrying about the business. I don't think I slept all night. I brought her back to the San Francisco dock, and there was Eddie waiting on the dock for me.
Hello, Harry, he said to me and waved.
I threw him the stern line, and he made her fast and then came aboard, longer, blearier, drunker than ever. I didn't say anything to him.
What do you think about that fella Johnson going off like that, Harry? He asked me. What do you know about that?
Get out of here, I told him. You're poison to me.
Brother, don't I feel as bad about it as you do?
Get off of her, I told him. He just settled back in the chair and stretched his legs out.
I hear we're going across today, he said. Well, I guess there isn't any use to stay around.
You're not going.
What's the matter, Harry? There's no sense to get plugged with me.
No. Get off her.
Oh, take it easy.
I hit him in the face, and he stood up and then climbed up onto the dock.
I wouldn't do a thing like that to you, Harry,
he said. You're goddamn right you wouldn't, I told him. I'm not going to carry you, that's all.
Well, what'd you have to hit me for?
So you'd believe it.
What do you want me to do? Stay here and starve?
Starve hell, I said. You can get back on the ferry. You can work your way back.
You aren't treating me square,
he said.
Who did you ever treat square, you rummy?
I told him. You double-cross your own mother. That was true, too, but I felt bad about hitting him. You know how you feel when you hit a drunk. But I wouldn't carry him the way things were now, not even if I wanted to. He started to walk off down the dock, looking longer than a day without breakfast. Then he turned and came back.
How's letting me take a couple of dollars, Harry?
I gave him a $5 bill of the chinks.
Always knew you were my pal. Harry, why don't you carry me?
You're bad luck.
You're just plugged, he said.
Never mind, old pal. You'll be glad to see me yet. Now he had money, he went off a good deal faster, but I tell you it was poison to see him walk even. He walked just like his joints were backwards. I went up to the Perla and met the broker, and he gave me the papers and I bought him a drink. Then I had lunch and Frankie came in.
Fellow gave me this for you,
he said, and handed me a rolled-up sort of tube wrapped in paper and tied with a piece of red string. It looked like a photograph when I unwrapped it, and I unrolled it thinking it was maybe a picture someone around the dock had taken of the boat. All right. It was a close-up picture of the head and chest of a dead nigger with his throat cut clear across from ear to ear, and then stitched up neat in a card on his chest saying in Spanish, "This is what we do to linguas largas." "Who gave it to you?" I asked Frankie. He pointed out a Spanish boy that works around the docks who is just about gone with the con. This kid was standing at the lunch counter. Ask him to come over. The kid came over. He said two young fellas gave it to him about 11 o'clock. They asked him if he knew me and he said yes. Then he gave it to Frankie for me. They gave him a dollar to see that I got it. They were well dressed, he said.
Politics, Frankie said.
Oh yes, I said.
They think you told the police you were meeting those boys here that morning.
Oh, yes.
Bad politics, Frankie said.
Good thing you go.
Did they leave any message? I asked the Spanish boy.
No, he said, just to give you that.
I'm going to leave now, I said to Frankie.
Bad politics, Frankie said. Very bad politics.
I had all the papers in a bunch that the broker had given me. And I paid the bill and walked out of that cafe and across the square and through the gate, and I was plenty glad to come through the warehouse and get out on the dock. Those kids had me spooked all right. They were just dumb enough to think I'd tipped somebody off about that other lot. Those kids were like Pancho. When they were scared, they got excited, and when they got excited, they wanted to kill somebody. I got on board and warmed up the engine. Frankie stood on the dock watching. He was smiling, that funny deaf smile. I went back to him. Listen, I said, don't you get in any trouble about this. He couldn't hear me. I had to yell it at him.
Me good politics,
Frankie said. He cast her off.